Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Welcome to episode 47 of the Women's Running Podcast. I'm Esther Newman, editor of Women's Running, and in this episode, I talk to Natasha Akers, the founder of Earth Runs. There are several brilliant things about Tash. First off, she's the brains behind Earth Runs. This virtual running initiative plants trees according to the number of miles you run. And if you wish, you can further reward yourself with one of her truly original and very magnificent seed bomb medals. Secondly, because this initiative is truly awesome, and because she managed to cobble together an entry at the very last minute, Tash is the hugely surprised recipient of the first Brooks Run Fund, which was launched earlier this year. This global initiative was set up to celebrate the power of running, with a fund to reward big ideas that benefit our communities and our environment, something which Earth Runs literally does in spades. The fund that Tash won is $100,000. Obviously, she is giddy with it. And she talks to me here about how and why she set up Earth Runs, what she's going to do with the cash, and how she wants to continue spreading her very achievable message that we can all make a little bit of difference, that we can combine making those differences with our running, and that those differences all add up to a very big change. She is an inspiration. And I do so love talking to women who have very appropriate names, don't you? We've had Sophie Power, Mel Bound, Holly Rush, and now Tash Akers with her brilliantly tree-focused name. Not quite sure how I can top that. If you can think of anyone from the world of running that has a name that fits what they do, then let me know so I can add to my Mr. Biff the Boxer list. Find out more about Earth Runs at earthruns.com and dip your toe into Brooks at brooksrunning.co.uk. Podcast listeners can claim the best discount we have for membership to Women's Running, which is 35% off. That's less than $2.95 a month. And for that, you get our brilliant magazine and you also get loads of money off the sorts of stuff you love, like kit, nutrition and class memberships. Enter WRPOD at the checkout at shop.womensrunning.co.uk for your discount. Come and join Women's Running. We'd love to have you with us.
I did see, because they sent me through, Brooke sent me through a little sheet about, you know, about you, as well as that, like, you know, the questions are going to be asked and stuff like that. And it was like, oh, she won awards. So I was glad you were down to earth. It was like, oh yes. I'm very not glad
just,
you were down
not
to
just
earth.
Any old editor. No.
Oh no, you're an award-winning editor.
At some point in my life, someone decided to give me something.
Hey, welcome to my world.
Look at us. We're like peas in a pod.
Oh, bless you.
Well, I'm going to have to ask you a lot of questions that I've asked you already, but I don't mind asking again because Do you know what I was doing this weekend? I went for a really long run this weekend, and I was talking to, and I ran with a friend, which I never normally do.
Oh, it's hard.
I know, it was weird. And and she said, oh, she's got a marathon coming up. And she said, I want to do some virtual running. I want to do I want to put some races in between now and then. She said, but I can't bear all those cheap medals and stuff. But if I don't get a cheap medal, then how am I going to reward myself? And I said, aha.
Ta-da!
I have heard of the very thing.
Well, well done you.
I know. So I think you might have a new customer.
Ambassador.
Yeah. Oh yeah, too right. I think it's amazing. So could you explain, before we even get into the Brooks stuff, could you explain what Earth Runs is and how you dreamt it up?
Okay. So Earth Runs is at present a virtual race website. For mostly runners, it was set up for runners, although we've had a few walkers and cyclists and even a swimmer, where you, instead of running to get a medal, you actually run to plant trees. So depending on what distance you've done, if you do 5K, you get to plant 2 trees. And if you do 10K, it's 3 trees and upwards. I think the maximum we do for a marathon is about 8 trees. So not only that, you get to see the impact those trees have had. So each month, each quarter, we do an impact report. So you can see how the trees have helped local communities, and also the impact they've had on nature and the oxygen you've created. So it kind of gives you a real reason to run other than just for yourself. Mm-hmm. And alongside that, we also have created the first ever biodegradable seeded medals. So because everybody does like a little bit of bling, for the want of a better word, we have created these medals that you get. They're very different. They're very rustic. They're handmade. But once you get bored, because a lot of people hang them up for a while, but after a few years, it's what am I going to do with all these medals? And so you can break them up, plant them in compost, and they grow wildflowers for the bees as well. So the idea came from, I wanted to sign up for a virtual challenge, a yearly one, something to do for, to keep me going. We all need a little bit of an impetus at times. It came to me when I was running. I saw that all that you could get with these medals, and I just didn't want to add to the kind of waste problems. And then I just started thinking, well, what else could runners do? Maybe they could actually have an impact as well as just, you know, run for themselves. So yeah, that was the idea. That's Earth Runs.
And that's Earth Runs. But so you dreamt that up like quite recently, relatively recently, didn't you?
Yeah, it was about a year ago. It was, well, probably now, what were you now? Oh gosh, we're in pandemic time. So it's actually about a year and a half ago the idea came to me. It was a beginning. Oh God, is it just me that during the pandemic has kind of forgotten what time is?
Yeah.
It was around the new year time. I was looking for this for a virtual challenge, and it was whilst I was on a run about 18 months ago that it came up to me that actually I could, yeah, replant trees, do something a bit more positive with our time. It actually started when I was doing due to do a half marathon in the March just before lockdown. We didn't know that was coming, but and I'd been thinking about all the waste you get, the plastic bottles and all of that, and so yeah, it all triggered from there. However your mind works on a run, that's the best thing, isn't it?
So but I mean, you've got a day job as well, so how did you manage this alongside that?
Yeah, I do have a day job. I'm a graphic designer by trade, or as my dad likes to say, I colour in for a living. he has only ever thought that's what I do. But I was one of those fortunate people through the pandemic that hasn't been affected badly. Other than the fact that business sort of dried up a little bit. So I had the time then to develop it. Obviously working nights and evenings and around children and whatever, but like we said, pandemic time was very different anyway, and everybody became very flexible. So you were doing work at various different times. So it's just been a balance trying to mix it in with the day job. So
and what's the uptake been like? Who's joined you?
We've got a whole mix of runners actually. I can't remember the exact numbers. I think it's about 1,700 runners in total so far. And we've planted about 6,000 trees, nearly 6,000 now, which we're very chuffed with. It's a nice little community. Mostly it seems to be the older generation, but then, yeah, as in older, God, that's awful, isn't it? I'm well, say 35 onwards, I'm the older generation equally. but equally, we also get a lot of parents wanting to get their kids involved, which is really lovely. So we have quite a few of those as well. And it's been brilliant. It's a nice little community now. We've got a Facebook group, and we all support each other through that, because it's more about trying to show people that there's a lot of hope that we can do. I think one of the things about the whole climate change and world going to hell in a handcart kind of thing is that we all feel a little bit hopeless. And so actually it's lovely to feel that doing the same thing that you normally do is going to have an impact. So just changing one little thing, instead of running for that medal, run for those trees.
Mm-hmm.
And that 5K that you forced yourself to do when you weren't feeling it on a Sunday morning, and I planted two trees, that's pretty good, isn't it? It's a lovely feeling.
Do you have a lot of women?
Yes. The majority of ours are runners are women. It's not to say that men don't take it, but I'd say it's about sort of 70% women.
Yeah.
For whatever reason.
Oh, well, yeah, I wonder what that's got to say about virtual racing and kind of the non sort of threatening.
Yeah, our community, I mean, it might just be because it's me as well, that our community, I try and focus on those that we're never going to win races. You know, we're not fast runners. We do it for either fitness or mental health, or I don't know, just feeling good about ourselves rather than doing nothing. And I think that so I kind of think that maybe, I don't know, women aren't quite as competitive. That's not to say, that's a very broad, you know, brush stroke, but maybe we actually see that if you can't win, what can we achieve? What else can we achieve? So maybe that's part of it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so, well, the thing that I've been kind of like not talking about, but we are definitely going to talk about is that so, and the reason why I'm talking to you, which I should have been doing anyway, because this, I just think it's amazing. But the big news and the reason why I've heard about you is because you won the Brooks Run Fund.
Yeah. So,
which is amazing. So, can you tell me what that is and how you entered it?
It's crazy. That's what it is. Brooks launched a fund for, they called it Runfulness. So the ideas that you have when you're on a run, and it was to change the world, change your life, change your day. And I got to hear about it by pure chance. I think I only had about, five or six days. I can't remember exactly to put together a bit of a video. They asked for basically any ideas that might have changed, that you've had on a run that might change the world, a day, a life. And I saw it because someone sent it by chance to me via an email, and I read it and I just thought, oh, that's Earth Runs. Oh, and I even got my partner because I couldn't quite believe it at the time, going, what do you think of that? It's like, oh, that's Earth Runs. And it's a big American company. And so I honestly, yeah. And it was being held, the competition was held in, I think, about six countries, America, France, Spain, Germany here, might have even been seven countries, Holland. So I didn't honestly think I had much of a chance. I had about 4 or 5 days to come up with some kind of, I had to do a 2-minute video of the idea. And I started the video with, I love running, but I'm not very good at making videos, because it was about take number, blah, I don't know, 40. sent it off, hoped. And somehow, by sheer luck and amazingness, I won it, which for us, it is a wonderful fund of $100,000. I know.
It's amazing. Who are you up against?
We're up against, well, anybody and anyone could enter. But the I got notified that we were, or I was, the last of five semi-finalists. Mm-hmm. But the other four were all from America. And so I didn't hold out a lot of hope. It had to be voted by the public as well. Everyone got to vote. So anyone, you know, who got the link from Brooks or followed Brooks had the opportunity to watch the videos and vote. But it was different. There were different things. There were some to do with local food banks. There were some amazing ideas. Someone else to help support diabetic runners. There was a lovely guy with an idea for running buddies for people with terminal cancer. So it's really, you know, and the wonderful thing about it is that every one of the semi-finalists got $25,000. So even when we got notified that it was like, I'm one of the last five, and I'm reading the terms and conditions going, I think that means I get $25,000. I think no matter what, I've got $25,000, which, you know, who wouldn't say no to that?
Yeah.
There's some amazing ideas, but
somehow, you won.
little old Tash from little old North Devon won.
How did that feel? Did you believe it?
No. And I don't even know that it's sunk in now. It's the most surreal thing, because waking up, I know this is going to sound a bit corny, a bit cheesy, but waking up through the pandemic, knowing how horrific things are, but knowing that you've inspired or you've given the opportunity for people to run and change the world. And you wake up, and I've got a row of trousers. I live in a beautiful place. I've got a row of trees, and I count them, and I try and work out how many that is, because knowing at the time it was about 5,000 trees, and I'm thinking, it's 5,000 trees. That in itself is wonderful. You know, if this isn't about making money, this is about changing things and doing something that you can give back. And then you turn around and you're like, someone else has seen that opportunity, gone, yeah, you could do something with that, and they've rewarded you to do something with that. That's just crazy, isn't it? It's like life-changing stuff. It really is. It's amazing.
So life-changing, but life-changing how? What are you going to do with the cash?
Yeah, run away. Oh, no, we can't run away. The plan for the cash is to basically develop the Earth Runs idea and actually try and open it up to schools and educational bodies as well. I think the general feel is that our kids have really been hard hit, especially teenagers with the whole pandemic. Their mental health is low. They're hearing nothing but doom and gloom. So the idea is to now develop an educational program that we can take into schools and youth organisations to get them moving forward. Because I think it's the two things. It's not just that you are planting trees, but actually when you run and when you move forward with a purpose, you feel better. You know, I couldn't live without running. I'm slightly injured at the moment, and trust me, I'm like a bear with a sore head. And so getting them to see that just one little thing can change not only their life, but also do something good for the world. I just think that's going to really help. So the plan with the money is to develop that schools program. There's other bits and pieces as well with regards to updating the website and making it look a little bit more, well, just work a little bit smoother and working with Strava and the likes of that. It's to try and make it or try and give the opportunity to inspire as many people as possible to run and plant a tree, make a difference and recognize that's huge. That, you know, planting a tree. I read a study that said it supports a tree planted will support about 392 species of creatures. Not even including insects. Don't can't even go there. You think, well, if nothing else, you can wake up going, you know, that little mouse, that little hedgehog, whatever it happens to be. I've done that. I did that because I got myself going, and I think the kids would feel good as well. So that's the plan.
And these trees, where do these trees get planted?
We partner with charitable organisations that plant all around the world. At the moment, we set different races up, different challenges, so they can plant in different areas where they're needed most. So literally anywhere. we're trying, we're desperately looking for partners. We do have the odd one in the UK, but it's more expensive to plant in the UK. So we do run a few special. We've got one at the moment that's a hoglet race because of the little hedgehogs that are being born this year. And we plant trees in the UK, but it's a bit more expensive because we have to pay more for the trees. But but I know that a lot of people like that. So we'd like to try and partner a little bit more with a more close to home charity. But yeah, they get planted wherever. And we use organisations that guarantee the survival, because obviously you can't guarantee 100% survival, but you want a good high survival rate. Mm-hmm. And also that help develop the communities. This is about the communities that are educated to start with, to understand why it's better to plant trees rather than tear them down and plant crops or grazing land, and to protect that. And so we get to see that side of things as well, that those communities are blossoming from what we're doing as well. So, yeah.
Oh, lovely. And I mean, you've got a load of races available on your website, haven't you? You can do like lots of different distances, but they're also kind of different themes.
Yes.
So how do you come up with that?
Well, we try. It's to try and keep things fresh, really. We try to link somehow with nature along the way. But also we've started to partner with a few other organizations at the moment. We're doing one with Brent Lodge Wildlife Hospital, so that they can plant trees, but also it supports them. It's generally something to do with nature or trails or being out in the open. We do specific trail running ones, because I love a little bit of trail running. But we just try and keep it fresh, and we try and make it so that you can. I think there's one at the moment one of the things that we're doing at the moment is throughout the year, the challenge for a year is to plant all the 12 moons, because there's 12 different full moons. In fact, this year is 13, which is a very technical thing. I can get very, very nerdy about stuff. it's more to do with just inspiring people about the love. Last year, we ran a whole section on different animals around the world, so you could plant your trees, you could do different ones around the world, which was quite a nice one.
So what makes you so passionate about the environment? Why is that your thing?
I don't know. I've always loved nature. I've always been known, my family just roll their eyes as I've brought home another slightly injured pigeon or trailing hedgehog. The worst one was bringing home, Dad, I got a horse.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah, I know. But so there's always a love of nature. And then I think, you watch the lovely David Attenborough and the likes of that, and you can feel very down about how awful things are and how things are going to hell in a handcart. And I think actually we've got opportunities here, little opportunities to make a difference. And I do believe in hope. And if we can't think of the bigger picture, we can think of the small picture of what you can do just by changing one little thing. So, I just think that we all owe it, and we all have it in our ability to just change little things that don't feel really hard. So if we already run, then why don't we run without doing as much, with doing as little damage and perhaps even doing a bit of good. It's just trying to try. My partner, I do a weekly newsletter. And one of the things that I joke about is the fact that I'm forever doing experiments. It's like, to try and cut down on my footprint, with my carbon footprint, or to try different things and, haven't washed my hair with shampoo for 3 years and things, just little things. And my partner is forever very patient, just rolls her eyes and just like, oh, yeah, okay, another one. I've read this thing. Uh-oh, what are we trying now? Yak's milk from Himalayas or something.
It's people like you. It's the small difference thing, isn't it, I think, which I think is...
Yeah.
I think it's amazing. I had a flatmate once who did, she was very similar in that she had, like, every month she would do something new that was kind of pro environment.
Yeah.
And this was some years ago, probably 10 years ago. And I remember in around February, she introduced the concept of the moon cup. And I just remember we were all like, no, I don't think so. That's a step too far. And yet now,
Yeah,
we all do it.
Exactly. I do just look at it as little experiments, and you know you're never going to be perfect, and that's a big part of you know, even with the wonderful community that we've built with this, it's not about being perfect. It's about just doing your best and changing little bits here and there. Mm. I'm not a good runner. I don't know what a good runner is, but I'm not. You know, I started out running one lamppost and then walking the next one and then run the next one. And oh my God, it was horrific. But I get so much from it. And I think that's the same with when you can show to people that little bit of change that they did, instead of going for a virtual race that got you a chinky medal, which looks great, that race you did, that planted two trees, and they're going to be there for the next 200 years. That's amazing. I woke up on a Monday or a Tuesday or whatever, and I planted two trees, and in 200 years, they're still going to be there. I find that lovely. And it's trying to enthuse people to just think like that through everything, really, that they do, it's just the little changes. You don't always see the impact. And I think that's we're encouraged to, you know, you reuse our plastic and do this, and we don't see the changes. And that's really hard. Whereas running with Earth Runs, you can actually see what you've done. You'll know the difference that you've made. And that's a lovely feeling. So,
yeah. Oh, it's amazing. But you've talked about your running. You've mentioned it a couple of times. I want to know more about that. So when did you start? What kind of running do you... I mean, you've said you're injured, so I want to tread carefully here.
Niggle. I have Achilles niggle.
Oh.
It's because of my experiments, you see. I was trying a different running style.
Go barefoot.
Yeah, no, I did that once. Yeah, no, don't. I'm not very good at that. That hurts. I started running. I never ran at school. I was not... I was sporty, but it was always team sports. And then I went through 20s and 30s and worked too hard and drank too hard and you know, didn't live the high life. But I moved to North Devon and took up gig racing, which is old wooden boats racing. It's real. They're like right out at sea. It's lovely. Mm. But I realised I was incredibly unfit. So I decided I'd be on a health kick and I'd go and do this running malarkey that everyone talked about and did the couch to 5K with some American podcast at the time, and it was like a Todd would talk to me and tell me, you know, you're doing great. And I try really hard to, you know, keep from not dying on the side of the road. But what I did realize I was that it really helped my mental health. So it improved my well-being, but all around. And I've suffered from anxiety and depression and had, you know, real burnouts at times. So it just kind of developed from there. And I like to do a few challenges along the way. So I've done a few half marathons and I've done a couple of marathons. I did the first, I did London Marathon. And
what year and what was that like? Oh dear, right.
Yeah, I know. I'm trying to think what year it was. 2012. It was 2012. Of course it was. And it was a lot harder than I was hoping. I'd done all the miles. I think when you get overtaken by a rhino and an apple and a fairy, you start to just lose your kind of, you're just like, oh, this wasn't meant to be like this. So I did it in what at the time I thought was, you know, I had high standards and I thought, you know, oh, that's a very slow time. At the end of the day, time doesn't matter really, does it? But I remember just thinking, God, I don't like that. So afterwards, I was very proud of having done it and the best thing ever. And I would take this. So my mum passed away a couple of years ago, but so it meant that I have this wonderful memory of running down the mall and mum and my sister and my niece and my aunt was there. And that's just the most, I stopped because you do, my time by that point didn't matter. And I stopped and I had a chat with them and it was just like, I've got to carry on now, finish this thing. And it's the most wonderful memory. But after doing that, I kind of, I thought I was, I blamed my training and I thought I was really rubbish. So I thought, well, maybe I'll do one more marathon to try it. And I did the Dublin Marathon and it was better, but it was still hard. But marathons get to you like that. I don't know. Have you done a marathon?
Only a virtual one.
Oh, that's not only, that's harder than anything.
Oh, no, I was really one, nice.
If you haven't got people cheering you on, I would have gone home. At mile 18, I'd have just gone, no, forget this.
No, it was remarkably easy. It was remarkable. And I had, to be fair, I had my husband and my kids popping in like every sort of few months. So they, I did an out and back. So they stopped. Yeah. They were there halfway, which was good because it was piddling down and I couldn't open all my gel packets.
Just help me.
So it was encouraging, but also, you know,
yeah,
prevented the wall kind of thing. No, I really liked it, but I am down to do the London this year. So I'm kind of
awesome. I think, I mean, it's one of those things that I will do another one. I know I will. I'm a bit rubbish like that in that I think I hate it. And then, you know, it's like, oh yeah, but it's still a challenge. And then I want to do something else. I want to go a bit further. I forget. You forget the pain, don't you? You forget.
Would you ever do an ultra, do you think?
Yes. I'm going to say that's the truth. I'm a sucker for a challenge. I really am. And I think I hate. No, that's not true. I'm not very good at failure. And I've really had to learn about failing. So I tend to think that I'm better taking on things that other people would go, oh, I wouldn't do that. Or because then if I did fail, it wouldn't matter. So I think I probably would end up doing an ultra just because you should. You try it. Why not? I'll always do it plodding along. You know, it's not going to. I think it's always the worry that you're going to miss a cutoff point or the cutoff time or something. That'll be the man behind just clearing up. But yeah, sweeping behind. I'll just bring me a brush and I'll do help you whilst I'm on my way.
So have you actually signed up to anything in the next sort of 12 months?
I haven't signed up, but it's not for the want of, yeah, I will. To be fair, it's more just trying to fit it in with family life than anything else. And now that this fund has come about, I can concentrate on doing one thing rather than five things at the same time. So I will do, definitely.
So, I mean, how has life changed since you got that email?
Well,
are you a celebrity now? This,
which is weird. to be fair, it hasn't changed just yet because the money hasn't come through yet. It's on its way. You kind of trust them, don't you? So nothing much has changed yet. But it will. It will become more my day work. The graphic design I'll keep chugging along in the background a little bit here and there, but this is my focus now, and that's the most exciting thing. I send this weekly email that I do at the bottom. It says, I always put on it, one day this will be my day job, because I really, really wanted it right from the start. I was passionate about it. And so now at the moment I write, one day this is nearly our day job. Soon it will be. This is the day job. So we'll give it a good try for the next couple of years and hope that we can really, you know, get some traction and plant more trees and keep more waste out of the bins, basically.
And a lot of this is, I mean, there's the environmental kind of angle, but there's also the encouraging kind of angle. And would you ever consider being a run coach or anything like that?
I would if I thought I was good enough. I really would. I trained as a rowing coach and I love that. I just love people feeling good about themselves. So if I can help that, I think that's, you know, then that's a wonderful, that's why I'm on this planet, helping to encourage people. So yeah, if I find the time to train, then yes, I'd love to do it. I mean, I see that as part of what I do now anyway, this growing the community, supporting them in how whatever they're doing. I love getting emails back and hearing that I, you know, helped with a particular something, or that they have gone on to do something that they didn't expect to do. It's lovely. It really is. And we do, every so often we're trying to do it more regularly now, a Superstar Sunday, so that, you know, whoever, and it's often kids or people who've come back from injury or planted. We've had one runner who's done like 100 trees just in there. They've done that many runs. You think, whoa, that's awesome. So yeah, any way I can encourage, I'll definitely do that.
Yeah, and I love the kid thing as well. I feel that, I mean, like, that is such a concern for me personally speaking, and something that obviously I feel really passionate about, the schools element and what, you know, what you're planning to do there. I, you know, trying to encourage kids to move.
Yeah.
Unless they're trying to get some sweets at the end of a path or or they have the carrot of, not a carrot,
of a chocolate,
a chocolate, or a magazine from Co-op. Yeah. And I've tried to do sort of junior park run, which has occasionally been successful and occasionally not.
Yes.
I think maybe it's because the age of my kids, like they know how to run, but they also then just stop.
Yeah.
You know, so teaching them how to like run slower so that they continue.
Well, that's it, isn't it? It's the run slower part, because I've done junior park run. So 3-step children, they're I'm not successful at getting them running.
I was going to ask if you were.
I mean, I haven't inspired. I've got a friend of mine who's often posting, and her kids are brilliant. They've done a 10K, they've done a 5K, and you're thinking, how have you done? Her son is like faster than anybody I know. How do you do that? No, I haven't managed to. Well, we've done a couple of junior park runs. So I've got a teenager, 17-year-old daughter, then a 13-year-old son, and then a 10-year-old daughter. Mm-hmm. And the 13-year-old son, he's off doing football and anything. He will always be active. And I think that's the bit that I look for, is trying to be active.
Yeah.
The 10-year-old, she's autistic, on the autistic spectrum, and she kind of has struggles with a lot of behaviours. And so what we focus with her is that when she gets really cross with life, is actually just moving forward somehow. So we do lots of walks, and I might, you know, walk really fast, so she has to sort of keep up. And it's amazing the difference that it makes, and you can see her as the walk goes. And it's, we're very fortunate to live where we do, in a very rural area, and so you can see a lot of nature as you're walking, and it's noticing those little bits. So that's what I kind of encourage runners and kids and whatever, is it doesn't matter your speed, you're just moving forward, and if you can move forward with a purpose, then that makes a big difference. And the same with our teenager. Now she really has suffered through the pandemic, there's no doubt about it. Her mental health has declined, and it's sad, but what we have done is, you know, and whether it's right or wrong, the encouragement is, you know, we're going to switch the phone off just for 20 minutes a day, just get out and walk. And she does that. And so I'm not worried necessarily about them not running. Mm-hmm. They're getting out. They're getting out in nature. There was a study recently I read I'm going to not remember the facts now, but it was along the lines of that it made a huge, they showed such a huge difference just being out in nature and being, you know, awestruck. It made such a difference to your mental health and how you treated other people. So when you saw something that was awe-inspiring, then, you know, and it could be anything in nature, you were immediately nicer to everybody for the next 24 hours. This is the research that they found. And I think so, you know, if I can just get them out, that's it. I can't guarantee I'll get them doing a park run, but they'll see stuff. They'll notice things. And it might not be that they know they're very happy about it right now, but in a few years time, they might be, you know, appreciate just moving forward. So
that's amazing. So would that explain why I was such a bastard when I lived in Sydenham? And now that I'm in Bath, I'm a far nicer person.
I had the same when I lived in Swindon, and then I moved to North Devon.
There we go. Swindon.
There are some beautiful surrounds of Swindon. That's the way
the Ridgeway, you know.
It's beautiful, absolutely. Yeah. And it was good for business. I'm not knocking Swindon. I've got some very good friends there, bless them. But that study I wrote about a couple of weeks ago, but that study was really quite impactful, of just having that one thing that makes you feel wow, makes you feel better and treat people nicely. I think that's amazing.
I think that is amazing. We did that, you know, when I think it was particularly the third shocker of a lockdown that no one was expecting on January the whatever.
Yeah.
And within about a week, I did my back in. And so we decided to take the kids on a walk to school, which was basically just walking around the block and then coming back in through the front door after about 8 minutes.
Yeah.
But the difference it made to all of us in terms of our mental health, setting us up for the day, my back.
Yes, it does. It really, really does. And I might be a bit more moany with my a little Achilles problem, but I do still make sure I get out and do something outside, you know. And I don't think it has to be I am fortunate where I live, but I know that even when I was in Swindon, going around the houses, just looking up, looking at different things, you see more when you're walking or running, don't you? I mean, I've been cycling a little bit with this injury, and it's not as good for me at all because everything rushes past too quickly. Whereas actually the walking and the running, it's just enough pace to just lose yourself and just notice things which you don't in your everyday life. That hour for me every day is just absolutely sacrosanct. It really is.
Yeah, it's crucial, isn't it? Yeah. No, I like a hidden shop sign. You know, the ones that are painted at the top of the buildings. Like, ooh, yeah, that used to be a chemist, or that used to be a...
It's amazing what you see. It really, really is. But you wouldn't have noticed in your everyday hustle and bustle to get to somewhere or do something. Whereas actually, if you're just running and just jogging around or whatever, then you suddenly see so much more.
So what are you doing about your Achilles? That's what I want to know. Are you going to a physio?
No, I have got it booked in to see a what are they called? A massage physio. No, it's not physio, the sports therapist. Mm-hmm. So yes, that's booked in. To be fair, I've been resting it for a little while, but probably not long enough, you know. And I'd go 5 days and I'll just try another one. And then so I tried last night, which is why I'm being grumpy today.
Yeah, that's exactly what I do. It's an absolute nightmare. And I always do this, you should go to physio.
Then
I go and I listen to them and I'm like, yeah, that sounds really interesting advice. Really interesting.
We normally try. It sounds really like we're, you know, being Miss Perfect or whatever, because I normally try and do yoga every morning. Since the whole beginning of lockdown, did Adrienne yoga on TV.
Adrienne,
good old Adrienne, love her. And so we've been really good at that. But this last week or so, we've got a new puppy. And so that's just meant everything's changed. It's like you try doing yoga with a puppy that's, you know, can't understand what you're doing. So the whole everything's just gone out of sync, basically. But I will get back to my stretching, I promise.
Good. So when does this money come through, do you know?
It's on its way. It's on its way from America. They do it by check. It's very stressful because it has to be by check. So I've even had to open a new bank account because my bank account won't accept American checks. So it's like,
goodness.
It's first world problems, isn't it? Let's be honest. Oh, I've got $100,000 coming and oh my God, I can't cash it. I'll be worrying about what flavour hummus I have next.
No, I feel that pain.
I can't complain. It will all happen. And that's, my mom said, good things come to those who wait.
Yeah, absolutely. And the first thing you're going to do when you get that cash?
Oh, God. Truthfully, write an email to a couple of my clients that I don't want to work with anymore.
Ah.
You know, the ones that don't fill me with joy? Is that loud?
You're kind of Marie Kondoing your client list.
Yeah, I'm allowed to say thanks, but no thanks anymore. Which, that's the first thing. And then I've got, yesterday I was planning, I've got a list as long as my arm of, I've got post-it notes and I've got big signs on the wall of all the things that now need to happen. And I feel really bad because I think it was announced about a month ago. And so all my followers have, bless them, have been followers. That sounds like some weird thing, but I meant those that were on.
Not my... Of your cult, yes.
All those lovely people who voted for me and, must be thinking, oh, she's got money, she hasn't done anything with it, has she? And I was like, no, I promise you, I just can't do it right yet, but I promise I will. So I'm I've got a list as long as my arm and it's so exciting. It's unbelievable.
Oh, I cannot wait. I cannot wait. And I've already... as well as kind of harnessing my friend that I went for a run with, and I was like, you've got to get one of these medals. I've been speaking to our marketing manager as well. We do virtual runs as well.
Yes.
And we have wooden medals that are made in the UK, and that's lovely everything. But I've secretly already said to her, I like this idea better.
Well, it's one of the things. I've got a guy, a lovely engineer guy that I met through on an online course, who's actually building a prototype, because at the moment the medals are literally handmade by me and my partner. we're squeezing them out, popping out these little medals every week. And so, we're hoping that the plan is he's building us a prototype so that we can make more of them, so that we can also offer that as a sales, because the idea to try and transfer some other people away from the stuff that's throwaway and ready for landfill, I'm really hoping that we can then encourage others to try something a bit different. So that's another sort of wing to is that the right word? No, what is it? String to the bow. That's the word I'm looking for.
It's the fact that you've got these two concurrent, amazing ideas, isn't it? That's the thing, isn't it? It's not just the trees. It's the medals.
Well, the medals I really can see growing into something completely different as well, because I'd like to be able to get other communities that, because it's something that can be made by hand with not a lot of expense. So I really want to try and we can get it into school so they can make their own, which would be lovely. They can collect the, because it's all made out of recycled paper, so they can do that. In fact, a lot of the medals that have gone has been out of the lockdown homeschooling stuff from the home. So they came in very handy, those things.
Yeah, we had quite a lot of colouring in.
But also we can then get other organisations or smaller organisations and other community groups to help make them as well, so that they can, I'd like to be able to invest into sort of little micro businesses that can create their own. So it's not even a big mass production then. We can actually do it. I had an inquiry from a couple of places in America and also Australia recently for these medals, but I can't send them to them because they've got UK seeds in them, because obviously then you start growing weird not fauna that shouldn't be there. So again, once it's all set up and we've got it so that it can be created anywhere, then we'll also get them set up in America and Australia and stuff as well.
Oh my God, you're going to be a franchise.
No, this is about investing in community. I've done my bit of, trying to grow huge conglomerates. I'm this is about little local communities that can grow. I'm not, as long as I can pay my mortgage, if we're planting trees doing good, then everything else is good.
Oh my God, do you not desire anything? Is that
yeah, some sleep sometimes. Oh, of course, I'm exactly the same. I'm just an average layman. I really am. I like just as many shiny things as everybody else. But I went through a big stage in my 20s and 30s of, what I wasted. Oh, it's scary, isn't it? I'm really stupid about new tech. I had to stop my subscription to T3 because it was just like, oh, I need one of those. Oh, I need one of those. That new tech. Oh, I'll have that. So
I just put my hand up and say that's the first ever magazine I worked on?
Was it? Oh, it's probably you that sold me these things, you see.
97? I don't know.
Oh, well, that's good. I'm a shiny kind, I'm a sucker for new shiny things as much as anyone, but it's trying to change the little bit. I do desire stuff, but I try and curb it and think of the nice green stuff instead.
Yeah, I love that, because you can feel, especially the environmental stuff, you can feel told off.
Yeah.
And you can feel kind of beaten up about it a little bit. But if it's just, walking to school, for instance, or, planting a tree. Planting a tree while you run, I just think that's the concept of that.
Well, it's one of those things that I really, right from the start, I got asked by another magazine, I'm not going to say it, about, what I think of runners who get medals. And it's like, no, this isn't about telling people off. Mm-hmm. This really isn't. There's a lovely saying by Maya Angelou, and I've put it on the website, and it just says, do your best until you know better, then do better. And I love that, because I just think that says, you're doing your best, because we all are, aren't we? We've got to try and, that's why I think changes have to be in line with our lifestyles, because it's too big otherwise. Mm-hmm. But if I can just change one little thing, but do it a few more times, then that can make a difference. I don't think we need the tellings off. We know how bad we are. We know how awful the world's doing. But if we don't have some hope and if we don't have some encouragement, we'll all just give up, won't we, and buy rubbish and wait for the world to go to blow up or something. But this way, it's little positive steps, not being told off. If we can do this, how lovely.
Well, I'm going to vote for you when you stand for the Green Party at the next election, so just put it out there.
I wish I was that knowledgeable. I'm not. I'm just a What is it? A carrot crunching hippie.
Oh, so disparaging. Some of my best friends are carrot crunching hippies.
Sign up to your own virtual race and plant some trees at earthruns.com. And while you're thinking about it, if your current shoes have done more than 500 miles, head over to brooksrunning.co.uk to sort yourself out before you start training for your virtual race. Check out womensrunning.co.uk for the latest reviews of all the best shoes to work out which is best for you. And if you're unsure, go for Ghost or Adrenaline or actually Tempos. Ah, they're all brilliant. This podcast was recorded over Zoom. The editor and composer was David Newman. Please hit like and subscribe. That way you won't miss the next episode. Podcast listeners can claim the best discount we have for membership to Women's Running, which is 35% off. That's less than $2.95 a month. And for that, you get our brilliant magazine and you also get loads of money off the sorts of stuff you love, like kit, nutrition and class memberships. Go to shop.womensrunning.co.uk and enter WRPOD at the checkout for your discount. Happy running.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.